just realized everybody is here to party.
Greetings and welcome, fellow barium intimists, fluoroscopists, and cross table lateralists. I am your host, and I am not a radiology technician. Nope, I'm a technologist, and I've been in this field long enough to know that just because you came into my emergency room at 2 a.m. with a chronic back pain times 6 years does not mean the x-ray should be stabbed. This is the Radiologic Technologist Podcast for RadTechs by RadTechs. Thanks for listening. Today I'm excited to have the equivalent of Robin Leach with Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. Miss Trish is joining us. She is a mobile radiographer in and around Hollywood, and we are going to hear some great stories today. Thank you for accepting my invitation to join the podcast today. I'm meeting with Miss Trish, who has the amazing job of being a mobile radiographer in and around the Hollywood, California area. Does that sound about right?
That is correct. My office is in Beverly Hills on Wilshire Boulevard, and I do x-rays in the LA area. I go as far north as Santa Barbara and as far south as San Diego.
So I saw you posting on a Facebook group, and if any of you out there are looking for a good active group on Facebook, it's called Rad Techs. And I saw Miss Trish posted on there and thought, this is some terrific stuff that we need to capture and share with everybody. So Miss Trish, let's start from the beginning. If I understand correctly, you started in veterinarian radiography, is that correct?
I did. I started x-raying cats and dogs when I was in high school. I was a vet tech. I got on-the-job training. It was back in the age of film. I was in charge of the radiology department. I'd hang the film on these little screens, and we'd actually had to hand dip them in the fixer and the developer and hand rinse them. And that's when wet reads were really wet reads. I worked there for 5 years, and then I left and had a couple of kids. And I used to be a teacher's aide and a school bus driver while they were in school. And then after I became an empty nester and I lost my husband, I go, well, I looked back through my life and I was trying to figure out, well, what job did I really like? You know, and it's like x-ray. I really love taking x-rays. So I went back to the veterinarian field and I asked them, you know, I used to do x-rays. How about you hire me? And they pretty much laughed me out of the office. They said, oh, no, you need a degree. You need certifications. You need licenses. And it's like in the 70s, you did not need that stuff. On the job training, boom, you were good to go. And I started talking to people and they said, yeah, and sometime in the mid 80s, they started regulating the x-ray industry. And so they put all these things down, you know, certifications, licenses. And it's like, okay, if I'm going to go back to school, I'm going to do people because there's no money in the vet field. It's they're the last ones on the totem pole to get paid. And in the medical field, there's always going to be a need for radiographers. So it's like, we're going to go back to school and we're going to do this. So I was in school for 8 years. The wait list for the program I entered was 3 years. A program itself was 3 years. 2 years of clinical, 40-hour weeks, and then 1 year of book study before clinicals.
And what school was that?
Long Beach City College, California.
So did they build in the prerequisites?
They did.
It's interesting that you mention the need for techs will always be there. What would you say to somebody interested in the field now who's hearing the rumors that there's not enough jobs out there? What would you say to them?
I have not seen that. I am in the LA area. I took my test the day after I graduated and I was hired within a week. So I don't know if I was really lucky. My professors, even when I informed them that I had already got employment, they were like, you scored really quick. Now, I do have one classmate who has yet to find a job. I don't know why he hasn't. I don't know if he's just being picky, But out of my class of 24, all of us were hired within 3 months.
So now that you've x-rayed both animals and humans and gone from film to CR to DR, would you say that imaging animals and humans are really all that different?
Well, animals bite you.
You don't sedate them?
No.
Oh my gosh.
We have to hold them and we use a lot of sandbags. They have calipers that have the measurements on them. So in order to figure out the mass and KVP, you use the calipers, and however thick the animal is that's what you set the machine to. So that is a lot different from people, because you don't go around using calipers on people.
Not anymore.
And you have AEC. It's a lot different. I remember working at the vet's office using film. It was a big deal when we got our new processing unit where we did not have to load the film cassettes. I mean, that was like top of the line then. So now, you know, 40 years later, I walk into a hospital and it's like, oh my God, you know, everything's digital, everything's instantaneous. And it's like, wow. So it's changed quite a bit. Dogs, you know, they have kidneys, they have bladders, they have intestines, they have lungs. And it's remarkable how similar that dogs and cats are to humans. So I feel that in class, the anatomy of animals really helped me towards the anatomy of humans.
Good. So I noticed, you know, I mentioned that Facebook group I see the other day. They were talking about studying for the registry. And I think either I brought up chemicals or somebody else brought up chemicals. And I finally just said, you know, does anybody even get taught that anymore? Because I didn't think it was on the boards anymore. I remember for several years, the ART was saying they were going to take it off, but then it stayed on and it stayed on and it stayed on. And I think that's because a lot of the smaller practices were still using film, chiropractic offices and things like that. But chiming in that Facebook group, never heard of it, they've heard of it, but they didn't study it. They've never seen it in practice. So we do have a whole generation now of technologists coming out that have never even seen it or had to learn about glutaraldehyde and the rollers and all that fun stuff. So I'll never forget the smell of those chemicals and the hassle that stuff used to be.
Oh, and the way old film smells when you walk into the storage room and it's like, oh, yeah. Don't miss it.
Yep. And you're fumbling around, even though you got your little light on, you're fumbling around trying to figure out. You're pulling it out, counting sheets by fingertip, pulling them out. So I don't miss it. I'm glad it's gone. So you graduate, you pass your board, but it sounds like even that's not easy for you because if I read the posts right, you're being asked to x-ray people poolside among other places.
I have done the most bizarre x-rays doing mobile x-ray. The lady, she has a lot of knickknacks in her home, a lot of side tables. It's very narrow to get the machine in. She had to do a lumbar spine. And it's like, I've had people lay down in parking lots to x-ray them because there's stairs. I can't get up the stairs. Like I said, this lady, her house is a little cluttered. I could not get into the bedroom or to a couch. And she goes, you know what? We have a massage table, and the massage table is brand new. And she had one of her houseboys set up the massage table right by the pool. Yeah, it was a young, hot-looking guy. And and sure enough, we just did it right there by the pool. You know?
So I got all kinds of questions coming out now. So I want to talk about your equipment because there are people out there interested in doing mobile that don't know what that equipment looks like. But I'm also curious that you're doing lateral lumbar spines portably, because I remember doing that in the hospital. I had an ICU patient that they didn't want to bring him down because they're unstable. And I said, well, I can do it portable. Watch this. And everybody said, no, don't go do that. And turns out they were saying, don't go do that because we don't want them to get used to us doing that. Not because we can't do it. They just don't want them to start asking for it all the time. So you're doing lateral lumbars with your portable machine, no problem, right?
Correct.
Are you laying lead down behind the spine or no lead?
No, no lead. Lateral lumbar, one company I work for will not do a lateral chest. It's strictly AP chest only. The other company, the Hollywood company I work for, we do laterals on all views. So no lead. I have a little 130 SRI machine. I call it Siri. other people call it my droid, you know, my little droid unit, and Wally. I shoot with it. It shoots, uses 110 house current, hopefully a grounded outlet, because sometimes I've kicked and blown fuses and circuits using it. So it does pull quite a bit of power. But
what's
lumbar,
the size? How big are we? Like a suitcase?
No. It's, I'm trying to think of what it would be comparable. It's like the size of a dolly, like a refrigerator dolly.
Okay.
And probably 2 feet deep. As the tube folds down in front of it. So basically it's a refrigerator dolly with an arm that extends. So that comes up.
And what's the brand name again?
SRI, source ray something.
I always wondered about that, because you could probably pick that up and put it in your trunk, right?
It goes into a little Nissan Sprinter van. I have a company van. It is not marked. It is a plain white Nissan little tiny van. And I think because of the clientele that we shoot, they don't want the paparazzi to know that X-ray is showing up, that there might be a problem at their house.
I never would have thought of that. I thought maybe you just weren't letting the public know that there was radiation coming out of that vehicle. You pull up to the house, you wheel your machine in, knock, knock, and you go in, and wherever you can get them, huh?
Correct. So I've done a lot of X-rays in pool houses. I don't know, pool houses seem to be a favorite. I've done X-rays poolside. And I like it when we go in on the couch or a bed's the best. But some places you just can't get in. They have a lot of artwork, a lot of sculptures, and trying to navigate through houses isn't easy sometimes.
So did I read something about somebody jumping out a window?
That happened 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, I show up at a nursing home. I would say 85% of my clients are in home, are private citizens. Uh-huh. And then we do a few nursing homes. So this is one nursing home that we went to, and it was a new resident. And he apparently was not happy being there. He has a little dementia issue, and he wanted to go home. And an hour before I got there, he had jumped out the second floor window.
Yikes.
So I get there, and the nurse is there, and she's like, oh, thank God you're here. We need you to do a couple of X-rays.
Extra
X-rays. And some extra views there. So, yeah. And there was an issue, so he did have to go get some more views. I did a couple, and I said, look, it's pointless. He's obviously needs a little more extensive series than what I can do here. So they sent him to the ER. He was okay. He just needed to go to the ER.
So I think I saw maybe you ran into Batman?
I did run into Michael Keaton.
Oh, it was Michael Keaton. Okay.
It was Michael Keaton, the original on Batman. The office where my office is, there are talent agencies and PR people. And there's multiple offices there. And apparently he was meeting with his PR person, and they were at Mike Jersey Subs as I was leaving downstairs. I heard this voice and I'm going, that sounds really familiar. And I
sounds like Batman.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, it's Michael Keaton. Holy bat smoke. This is Michael Keaton. And he's a lot shorter and blonde than, really? You know, I thought he was like 6'4", 6'5". He's only like 5'10". He's not that tall.
I didn't guess on the height, but I thought he was dark haired.
He is old. So, but it looked blonde to me. And it's like, wow, you look really different. But yeah. Yeah, I've run into one of Donald Trump's ex-girlfriends.
There's probably more than one of those, I'm guessing.
Oh, I'm sure there is. Little tiny, tiny old lady. And she had implants, which were the only things that were not saggy on her. And I asked her, I said, your name sounds... Because you could tell she used to be someone. Because okay. She was in like a $4 million condo complex.
Oh, wow.
And I'm going, you know, were you an actress or were you a dancer? And one thing I've learned doing mobile x-rays is that people love to talk about themselves. And if they think that you might recognize them, oh, they just spout off on who they are, what they did. And she goes, well, I used to be a figure skater. But you might remember me because I dated Donald Trump in the 70s. And that's like, oh, yeah, maybe. I was in high school. I didn't, you know, yeah. I didn't know who she was. But it's like, it's interesting that that's who she had been, was someone who identified as being an ex of Donald Trump's.
What does your day look like? Are you pretty much out all day long? Or do you just do three or four a day? Or how do they schedule these kinds of exams?
I am on call.
You have a lot of driving, I take it.
I do have a lot of driving because I live in Long Beach and my office is 30 miles away.
Okay.
So in LA, that takes me anywhere from an hour to 2 hours to get to my office. But, and it's like, I look at that commute and I'm going, but this job is so fun and so interesting. Right now, it's worth the drive. For the people I meet and yeah. the tips I get from doing x-rays, it's like, yeah.
You mean they tip you? They tip you for x-rays?
They tip me.
I didn't know that.
I've talked to other rad techs and I'll go, yeah, so don't you guys get tips? And they're like, we never get tips. Never. And I'm going, dude, I've gotten $200 tips. I've gotten $50 tips. Most common is $20. Everybody usually will float me $20. So if I do three x-rays, I make $50 an hour, which is a little on the high end for mobile. And then I get 20, so that's 70. So it's like I make 70 an hour doing mobile for Hollywood.
Wow.
The other company I work for, I only make 30 an hour and I don't get tips. But everyone's like, oh, why don't you come for the other mobile company? And it's like, I don't think so. You guys gonna pay me $50 an hour? Mm-mm. So I'm on call Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And this is where I say, unfortunately or fortunately for our clients, I don't work every day because there's not that many sick people at a time. In the winter, it's busy because you have flu and pneumonia going on. But I'll get a call from my dispatcher saying, you know, we got an x-ray in Encino. We have one in Hollywood Hills. And then I just go pick up the van and the machine and toddle off to the resident.
So they'll call you. Do you get call pay, standby pay?
Yeah, I get standby.
So you get a couple dollars an hour just to be on call?
Yes.
So you're on call. They call you with an order and an address.
Yes.
And then you got to drive 30 miles to go get the van, and then you GPS wherever you're going, and that could be an hour to 2 hours to wherever that location is. You shoot a hand, a wrist, a chest, a foot, whatever. Then you have to go back to the office, obviously, to drop everything off. Is that where you do you process your films in the van, or do you take them back to headquarters?
I process them in the van. Everything goes via Wi-Fi now over the internet. So I do direct digital plate, connects to a laptop so I can immediately see and annotate the film. And then when I go out to the van, I hook the laptop up to a hotspot and just send it to teleradiology that way.
So you take a laptop into the house and you can see your image on the laptop from that little SRI unit and annotate and do whatever, but you can't push it to PAX until you get out to the van.
Correct.
Well, $50 an hour is pretty good, although I don't know what your cost of living is out there. I imagine it's not cheap.
California is one of the most expensive places to live. A studio in my neighborhood runs about $1,100.
Wow, I wish I'd have known. I wish I'd known you a couple months ago. We were just out there in Long Beach. I took my wife and girls for their first cruise. They've never been on a cruise, and we did that little Mexican cruise out of San Diego and went down to
Ensenada, probably.
Yeah, I think it's Ensenada. The blowhole, that blowhole, La Bufadora, I think it was called down there. But my wife, I think, equally as much as she enjoyed the cruise, she just wanted to be at the beach. And so we went to Long Beach. Was it Long Beach? I think it was Long Beach. And just walked through the shops and hung out on the beach. And I guess I'm getting old now. To me, go standing in the water is just standing in the water. But we let our kids go out there, and they were out there for like 2 hours just messing around in the waves. And so they had a great time. If I'd have known you back then, we'd have looked you up for sure.
Oh, definitely. I would have taken you on a run with me.
That would have been awesome. I would totally take you. You know, my wife's an X-ray tech too.
That's cool.
She went through X-ray school. See, I went through in 2003. And got out in 2005, and then I applied to ultrasound school just to see if I could get in. I didn't have all the prereqs, so I wasn't too worried about it. But they ended up having some room, and they said, "Look, we're going to let you in, but you got to complete the prereqs before you graduate." So I said, "Well, okay, sure, fine." So I jumped into ultrasound, and in my last semester of ultrasound, my wife jumped into X-ray school. So her first semester was during my last semester. And of course we had kids that we were trying to juggle. So that was a really interesting semester, but we pulled through it, and she's been doing X-rays ever since. I think that was 2010, but she went in and got out. I think she's been doing it about 10 years now. She took a little break when we moved around a little bit, but she loves it. She works in kind of an outpatient setting. So she gets what we call walkie talkies, you know,
right?
People that can walk in and walk out, and it's, of course, they'll say they hurt and the pain they're there for, they've had for 20 years, but they needed the x-ray that day. You know how that goes.
Yeah, we get gravity storms.
You get what?
Gravity storms.
And what is that?
Where everyone falls down. It'll be, you'll get flu pneumonia, and then for 1 week, it's like all these old slip and falls. And it's like, so a gravity storm happened.
Wow. So would you say you do a lot of hips then?
I do a lot of hips. So I do a lot of ribs, which is unusual. I do a lot of skulls mobily, which
they
is
hit their heads, yeah.
They hit their heads. And it's like, if one thing that this job has taught me is like, when I get really old, don't have a nightstand next to your bed.
Or little dogs.
Yeah, because they will always slip and fall and hit their ribs on the nightstand.
Yep, and the little dogs, you'll always trip over those little dogs.
Yeah.
That's funny. So I'm curious, are you doing cross-table lateral hips with your little SRI, or do you just roll them and kind of frog them, or how do you do a hip?
I can do a cross-table hip. It's a little difficult because of the bed, and it sinks. And it's sometimes really hard to get the tube aligned.
But you can punch through with KV with your little machine?
Barely. spines are the worst to take with that machine. It's like you up the technique, and it's really hard to get a good L spine. T-spine, yeah. C-spine is fine, but the L spine seems to be the hardest one to get good penetration on that.
And you probably do a lot of tailbones, I'm guessing.
Not too many. Mostly it's hips. Hips in extremities, arms. I had this little old man. he fell in his bedroom against his dresser a week previously, and I go and do him, and he's like, it's not broken. I can turn my hand up and down like this. You know, if it was broken, I couldn't do that. Right. And I'm going, I've seen some people do some crazy stuff with really broken bones. So yeah. I'm not going to tell you it's not broken. So I do it. He goes, the only problem is I can't lift my arm up. He goes, I can lift it up like this, but I can't lift it from the shoulder. And it's like, okay, so I'm doing a humerus radiograph. It's a commuted fracture. Probably one of the worst broken humeruses I've ever seen.
And he's flapping it around like a chicken. He, right?
Yeah, pretty much. He goes, I just can't like lift my arm up. And it's like, stop doing that.
It's not attached. That's why.
Exactly.
Well, I guess so. You're on call a lot, which some people would go, oh, they'd cringe. But I'm thinking, that means you don't have to do any fluoro.
That's true.
That's got to be the upside. I mean, you don't have to do barium swallows or barium enemas or small bowel follow-throughs or any of that stuff.
That's true. I do. I am fluoro certified. I actually like doing fluoro. So when I get tired of doing mobile, I will probably go into a surgery center or something and start doing that. Because I do a lot of SAG, Screen Actor Guild homes. So it's like, if I'm there, I always run into famous people, even though they're not the people I'm seeing.
Gotcha.
So it's like, I don't think that's a HIPAA violation by saying, oh, I ran into the retired United States senator. And it's like, oh, no, he was the minister for the Senate. And it's like, I did not know that the United States Senate had their own minister. That I found interesting. And I ran into Paris Hilton's neighbor.
Okay.
I did not know that she was Paris Hilton's neighbor until she was very upset with Paris Hilton and her little chihuahuas. Because trash day, apparently, the maid or the gardener or somebody leaves the gate unlocked when they take the trash out. So you have 10 little chihuahuas running down the street. And this lady would catch them and confine the dogs. So when Hilton got home, she'd come over there and say, like, do you have my dogs? And she's like, yes, I have your dogs. They were running in the street again. And she was insulted that Paris Hilton tried to give her $20 for rescuing her dogs. She goes, I don't want your $20. I just want you to keep your dogs locked up.
Well, I can only imagine that kind of stuff happens out there all the time.
Yeah, it's
so how many people would you say are doing x-rays like this in your area? I mean, are you kind of it for your area, or are there five companies with five techs doing this, or what's the market like for mobile out there?
Everybody is doing mobile. The company I work for started doing mobile x-rays about 4 years ago.
Uh-huh.
I fell into this job. They only have two techs, and the only reason they hired me was because the other tech had worked for a year solid without any time off, and he told them, I'm going on vacation for 2 weeks. You need to hire another tech. So I was on freshly graduated. I was on ZipRecruiter. There was a one-line ad. It said, a traveling tech wanted email Anastasia. I was like, okay, I'll bite, you know.
Wow.
I haven't had a job interview in 30 years, and here I am looking for a job. I figure I need the interview practice.
Sure.
If not, I'm not interested in a traveling position. I don't want to leave the state. We did have a person come in and talk to our class, and they went over the different types of positions available in radiology, and he mentioned traveling techs, where you can hire or sign up with a recruiter and they'll send you to Idaho or Nebraska or someplace for 3 month long assignments out of state.
Yep.
And you can make a lot of money doing that. I've heard. And it's like, my mom has dementia. I take care of her at home when I'm not working. So that's why on-call works for me.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't want to do traveling. I don't want to go out of state, but I want to do the interview. I want to interview. I want practice interviewing. So I show up, a very cute Russian lady. They do ultrasound. They are a mobile ultrasound company. And one of their doctors requested that they get an x-ray machine and do x-rays. So she goes, so we have a little van. We have a little portable x-ray machine. And I'm going, okay, so it's not traveling. You're local. But she, being Russian, I think confused the word mobile with traveling, because traveling kind of means the same thing as mobile.
Yeah.
So I said, great. I used to be a school bus driver. You know, I can drive a van, no problem. You know, I drive an SUV normally. So a little tiny Sprinter van's no issue at all. And she goes, well, a lot of our patients have dementia. And I'm I live with someone who has dementia. Yeah. And she's like, I don't see how we cannot not hire you. So she goes, how soon can you start? And it's like, I wasn't planning on accepting a job today. I said that I can start tomorrow. You know, so that's how I ended up with my Hollywood job. It's been one of the best things I've ever done in my life. It's so interesting. I worked at Long Beach Memorial and St. Mary's in the hospital setting. And for me, the modalities I liked best were ER or urgent care, because you saw something different every day. It wasn't, you know, chest x-rays, arm, wrist, hand. I mean, you still did them, but there was usually some pathology in ER and in urgent care that was different than just your general studies in the department. And I think that's why I like mobile so much, is that you have to think on your feet. You have to think outside the box. It's like, okay, this patient's kyphotic and they want a skull series. Yeah, how am I going to do a Waters and a Caldwell on somebody who can't even lift their head?
Right.
So you have to figure out your angulations, and it's a lot. You have to think more. So I really enjoy mobile.
Has anybody asked you to x-ray their pet or anything since you have the knowledge? Because I know at the hospital, we every now and then somebody, a nurse or a doctor, would say, can you x-ray my dog's left front paw? They're limping, and I just want to take a look at it.
I have not... I've had people, I'll be x-raying the patient and they'll go, can you x-ray my head? Because my mom says I don't have a brain. But I can't shoot without orders. So I said, sure, get me an order and I'll shoot it. But I'm not going to go rogue and shoot something I'm not supposed to. That's above my pay grade.
Let's shift gears for a little bit. Did I understand that in your travels, you got caught in one of those nasty California fires?
I was caught in the Woolsey fire. I was out, I was actually heading to Camarillo Springs to a nursing home, and I'm on the 118. For some reason, Waze routed me that way, and it's like, that is not a normal way to get to Camarillo Springs. So I was kind of puzzled about it. But, you know, Waze knows best, so I wasn't going to question it. And I'm driving, and I see a little puff of smoke come up, and I go, oh, there's a fire. Interesting. And then I saw another little puff of smoke. And pretty soon, there's like three puffs of smoke. And they're like keeping track with me, and I'm doing 70 or 80 miles an hour. I know I speed. And it's like, I just want to get the day over with. And I'm like, it's almost like somebody had bottle rockets and was shooting, setting off fires, because it was traveling really fast and it was windy. The wind was horrendous that day. And I get a call and it's my office. They're all, where are you? Patricia, where are you? And I'm like, I'm on my way to Camarillo Springs. And they're like, what road are you on? And I said, I'm on the 118. And they go, okay, because we just got notice that the 101 has been shut down. Oh, well, that's why Waze put me on the 118 then.
Yeah.
And they said, oh, there's a little brush fire. It's no big deal. You know, just go do the x-rays. So I get to the facility and I walk in, and as I walk in, the guy is on the phone and he's talking to someone. He's like, no, the fires aren't near us. They're 5 miles away. We're not evacuating because it's 5 miles away. It's not even close. And I'm all, oh, okay, so that's what's going on. There's a fire. It's pretty far away from the facility. I'm there. I do my chest x-ray. I process the images because it was a really nice nursing home. So I just sat in the lobby in a nice comfy chair in the air conditioning and just, you know, drank some of the juice that they had there that was offered. And it's like, I'm kicking back. So I'm there for 35 minutes. And I could see, hear fire trucks going by outside. And that's not uncommon. I'm in a nursing home, you know, residents have problems, ambulances, fire trucks come in. I didn't think anything of it. And I walk outside and there is smoke everywhere. And I'm like, I thought this fire was 5 miles away. I've only been here a half hour. I load up my machine. Waze, I follow Waze 2 blocks away. There's flames on the side of the road. There's so much traffic evacuating, horse trailers, animal haulers, people in vans with stuff all over their cars. And here I am in that traffic with flames 20 feet away.
Oh man.
And it's like, I could not believe that in a half hour that fire traveled 5 miles to pretty much exactly where I was. Now I was in it. And everyone's all, well, take PCH. And it's like, the fire was between me and the 101, and there was an alternate fire between the 101 and PCH. So I could not get to PCH. So I was stuck. It took me 4.5 hours to get back to the office. And it's like, oh, thank God I get paid by the hour.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So you got paid to sit in the fire.
Exactly. I got paid to sit in the fire and panic with all the traffic for trying to figure out how I was going to get home. And then 2 weeks later, I'm up in Encino, and it had been raining, and I had to follow a backhoe out of the cul-de-sac I was in because of a mudslide. Got stuck there. Mud came down the hill. So I was sitting there for about an hour until they got the tractor in to move the rocks and the dirt and debris so I could get out.
Tell me about the Russian ladies and the surprise inside the chocolate.
The little old Russian ladies and their chocolate. So I didn't realize that you got tipped. And from what I understand, that's not the norm. But
no, that's not normal.
These little old ladies, they always try to give me, you know, bottled water because it's hot. They'll give me fruit. I've gotten lemons. I've gotten grapefruits. A lot of chocolate. I've gotten poinsettias around Christmas time. So in Russia, because the office manager is Russian and the doctor who does a lot of the orders is Russian, so a lot of my clients are Russian, so I've learned a little bit of Russian, like strastoycha, which is a formal hello, and spasiba, which is thank you. And it is their custom to give a tip, and it's like I because sometimes they'll give me money, but usually it's chocolate or alcohol. Or they'll invite me to stay for tea. I've done that 2 or 3 times. So it's really interesting. And the first time, this little Russian lady, she's all, here, let me give you some chocolates. And that's not uncommon to get chocolates. So I'm thinking, okay, she has a box of this Whitman sampler or something. She'll give me chocolate. She came with handfuls. Handfuls that looked like those Ladora truffles, the balls and the little foil wrap paper.
Yeah.
She just fills my scrub pockets with these chocolates.
Hey, so those horse things.
Yeah, I have these bulging pockets full of these little chocolate balls, and I'm all, okay, it's a bit over dramatic there, but all right. So I put my machine in, I get in the van, I'm trying to empty them out of my pockets because I can't sit because they're so full. And I'm like, oh, this is full. So I unwrap one and I pop it in my mouth. And I'm all, holy cow, it has alcohol. And then I was reading on it and it's like 57% proof alcohol. Whoa. In this, so it was like some really strong liqueur, and it's like, okay, we're not going to be doing that anymore while we're driving.
Right. Enjoy 5 or 10 of those on the way home.
So then I was asking the office manager, I go, you know, I love chocolate. I'll confess, I love chocolate. I said, but I told her, all these women who give me these chocolates, it has alcohol in it. And she goes, yeah, that's custom in Russia is to give the help chocolate or a shot of vodka. So
help, huh? You're the help.
That I'm apparently the help. And it's like, I'm sure it loses something in translation there. So it's like, okay, I got it. I went to this one house in Hollywood. They don't, everything's kind of like hidden. It's like the more hidden the house is, the higher up the person is. The more famous the person is, I guess would be a good way of saying it. So I get this address. It's off Sunset Boulevard. And I'm driving. I cannot find the address. I can find, however, a 30-foot high hedge that takes up an entire block. And it's like, this is where the address should be, but there's a hedge there. It's like, how do I find the front door? You know, am I going to have to Harry Potter this and like find a magical door? So I call the house and I go, look, I believe I'm at your address. However, I cannot find your front door. And they go, oh, that's because our front door isn't on that street. You have to go down this street and go down another street, because literally they had the entire block. So I had to make a right turn and another right turn, and they go, when you get to the gate, we'll contact you. I was like, okay. So I pull up to this gate, huge 20-foot high wrought iron gate, solid, can't see through it, and they have a camera, which isn't unusual a lot of these. And it's like, when I get an order and it has a passcode on it, I automatically know it's somebody, somebody famous, somebody well-known, done actors, actresses, singers. So they have a gate, it has a camera. It doesn't even have a key box. It has a camera. And they're all, state your name. What company are you from? And they go, yes, you are expected. Please follow the security officer to the door. And the gate opens and there's a security guard in a golf cart. And I was like, okay, this is different. So it opens and it's solid brick, and there's this huge fountain in the center of this driveway, and it goes all the way around. And there's like a carriage house where all the vehicles are parked, and then there's a guest house where there's a couple of other cars. And it was like an estate in the Hollywood Hills. And it's like, that's some property there to have 2-3 acres in that area. So I back in, they go, oh, you need to back your van in, can you do that? And it's like, it's not 40 feet long, trust me, I can do it. So I back into the stall. And I go to unload my machine, and they're all, no, no, we'll do that. And it's like, all right. It's like, I'm kind of fussy about that machine because a lot of people want to touch it. And it's like, no, leave it alone. I know how to do it. I don't want you guys to damage it. I don't want you to drop it. I don't want you to scratch it up. So I'm kind of paranoid when somebody puts their hands on my machine. Yeah. They get it out. There's no incidences. They put the ramp back in and they go, follow us. And there was like five people came out to witness this machine being unloaded. I went to go push it in and they're all, no, we'll push it. So they took it into the house for me and I'm going, okay.
Wow.
And put my little shoe covers on. And there's a fountain coming to the foyer, and there's a fountain, and then there's like a concierge desk there.
In the house.
In the house. And wow. There's a butler there. And there were three maids standing. The butler's on the left side at the concierge desk. And there's three maids standing on the right side. So here I am progressing down this little hallway. And it opens into the pool area. And I'm going, wow, this is an open house. And there's all this like Moroccan statuary and tapestries and porcelain figurines. It was a very odd way they had the house designed. And I go right, and there's couches and there's more help there. There were four or five people in scrubs. So home health care for one person there. And they were all talking very quietly. And that guy goes, I will go announce your arrival. Like, okay.
So 20 other people know I'm here already, but apparently not the patient.
Right. And it wasn't even the patient they were announcing my arrival to.
Oh.
So it was like the head honcho.
Okay.
So I go there and they take the machine away from me and they take it into the room and they'll go, we'll position your machine for you.
That's my job.
Right. And it's like, okay. And I walked into the room and they had the arm extended and they had it plugged in. All I had to do was turn on my laptop and connect it. There was help there to help me position the patient to do the radiograph. And then I'm going, oh, this is so bizarre. And they were a cash patient. So they paid cash for the x-ray. It's unusual to have a cash patient. I asked the office, they go, we don't know how this person found this. We don't know how they got our name, but they faxed us the doctor's report. So we said, sure, we'll go. Because when I got back to the office, I'm all, do you guys know who that was? And they're all, we had no clue. And I go, let me tell you about the house that I went to. Let me tell you about the butler and the maids and all the help that was there. And eventually I found out that it was a television owner's home. It wasn't anyone American. It was a foreign person who owned like CBS, like our ABC or CBS or NBC network. It was somebody foreign who owned their own.
Yeah, their own network.
But yeah.
Yeah, but he lived in California.
But he lived in the Hollywood Hills in California. Go figure.
Wow.
There are a lot of foreigners in Hollywood.
Sure.
I realize that. And they're very strange. So they paid me $400.
For the x-ray?
And I'm like, for the x-ray. And I'm all, no, it's only $200 for the cash. And they go, no, the extra money's for you.
For letting us set your machine up for you.
And I'm all, well, thank you very much. And they took my machine down and wheeled it out and loaded my van for me and everything. And it's like, and I got $200 for showing up and doing an x-ray.
Wow. Did you ask them if they had room on staff or a staff radiographer?
Right. I should have if I was thinking.
I make a mean omelet and I can shoot x-ray.
Right? I can supervise your pool boy, no problem.
Yeah, I bet.
become kind of the norm to walk into a house and have it all marbled and the chandelier and the sweeping staircases going up. I went to a house like that because I won't do stairs. I am not taking a 200-pound machine up and down flights of stairs. And I went to one home. Again, there's maids and a cook and a butler at this home, and they're all, oh, well, the patient's upstairs. And I go, I cannot do stairs. And they go, well, we have a mobile lift chair. We can put your machine on the chair and take it upstairs.
You're like, what about me?
Yeah, I'm like, tell you what I'm going to do. They're all, we'll help you. We'll help you. And I go, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to bring in my machine, and then you can help me figure out how we're going to go upstairs. So I bring the machine in, and they go, oh, no, we're going to bring her down. So he ended up bringing her downstairs. And it's like, yeah, you're not getting this machine up the stairs.
Well, as we start to wrap up this podcast, is there anything you'd like to say about your impression around the mobile radiography industry as a whole?
I will say this about mobile, since the population is getting older, that mobile x-ray is going to take off more, because it's very hard to get patients to hospitals or to doctor's offices to get x-rays. And it's a lot easier to have someone come in with the mobile and do 5 or 6 people at that facility at a time. That's my second job. That's all we do, is go into nursing homes and assisted living and shoot x-rays. And we do, I think the most I've ever done is 8. I usually do about 3 to 5 on average.
Yeah, I want to say I looked into that. I had a friend in the business 10 years ago, 15 years ago, and he was going to start a mobile company, but he said the struggle was that the reimbursement was pretty low just for like a plain chest x-ray or a hand or a wrist. I want to say it was less than $100. So
it used to be $50 that they would reimburse. They changed that last September. You now can charge a setup fee. So the setup fee is
$500. Whoa.
Yeah, it really jumped. That's why when I go into a facility, I have to note how many patients I saw there. So if I see 5 patients, then each patient is charged $100 for the setup fee. Well, insurance is, not the patients themselves. Sure. So Hollywood, which I believe is why they pay me more, since it's private homes, they get the $500 setup fee per client, as in addition to, I believe a chest radiograph is reimbursed at $230 to $240. So it's $750 to show up and do a chest x-ray at a house.
And then there used to be like a stat fee also that they could tack on. It was the x-ray fee, the mobile fee basically, or the setup fee, and then back then they were doing a stat fee. If they were called out stat, that was an additional charge. Are they still doing that?
They are still doing the stat fee. I do a lot of EKGs, which is kind of weird, but EKGs used to be reimbursed at $12, and you used to not be able to charge a setup fee for them.
Uh-huh.
That's why, I would do an EKG on a chest x-ray. Now EKGs are being reimbursed at $60 per EKG, and you can charge the setup fee.
What's the setup fee on an EKG?
I am not 100% on that. I want to say it's $200, but I'm not for sure. I know Hollywood will not do EKGs, because they said it's not, they're not getting the bigger reimbursement. They'll do an EKG if there's a chest x-ray attached.
Oh, they won't come out just for an EKG because it's not profitable on that.
Correct.
Gotcha. So if you had to say your top 3 x-rays that you do the most in your mobile radiography, what are the top 3 most frequently done parts of the body?
Pelvis, hip, chest, and probably skull.
Really, from the falls?
I do a lot of skulls.
And over 80% or more of your patient population is elderly?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I rarely see anyone under the age of 60.
Yeah. So falls are probably the number one.
Falls, flu and pneumonia. Chest x-rays all day long.
You have the gravity storms and flu gravity pneumonia. Storms.
Exactly. That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
And at the hospital, we never did skull x-rays. I mean, we did it for our competencies, but I think CT. Go to CT. You know, skull comes in, goes CT. So it's a learning curve, definitely, doing it mobily.
Well, I bet you're right. I bet we'll see a trend up, because I've noticed even in other sectors, other businesses, like I've got a friend back in Phoenix who has his own mobile business, but what he does is drive around with a big gas tank and fills up people's cars, either at their work or their homes. And I used to think, well, that'll never fly. But when you get into these hyper-populated places like Phoenix or LA, where it's such a huge hassle to drive 10 miles or whatever it is to go get gas, or even if it's not that far, you've got all the traffic and everything else. This guy's making a decent living, I guess, just driving around filling people's cars up for him. And I don't know how he charges or what the structure is, but I see us moving that way, where convenience is becoming more and more of a consideration when ordering things. You know, we're used to Amazon shipping us stuff in 2 days. We're used to, you know, fast food and instant downloads. And now we're going to start getting used to the x-ray people coming to our house or coming to our work.
Exactly.
We have at the hospital where I'm at, we kind of inherited a mobile mammogram RV from our big sister hospital, who upgraded to a bigger unit. And we were very excited to get that, because now we can go mobile and go out to all the smaller towns and do screening mammograms on the people that, you know, weren't that interested in getting in the car and driving an hour or whatever to come in for those pleasant mammogram exams, you know. So I think you're right. I think we'll start seeing more and more. And it's nice to hear that reimbursement went up. I mean, you never want your charges to go up, but I know when they were, you know, $50 for an x-ray, nobody's going to want to go out and do that. And that's an underservice to the population who needs somebody to come out. Otherwise, you're paying, what, $1,000 for an ambulance transfer fee for the ambulance to go get them and take them to the hospital?
That is it, exactly.
Yeah. So that's, I think you're right. I think we're going to start seeing a lot more of that. So hopefully people that are interested and know how to do the x-rays and run the business can get involved in that. Otherwise, you start to get that disconnect of where they don't pay you enough because they're, you know, business owners are worried about making that money and they don't know what you're really worth. So they're trying to pay you $30 an hour or $25 an hour.
Well, Ms. Trish, this has been a blast talking to you and hearing your crazy stories as you do mobile radiography up in the area in and around Hollywood. What do you say we do this again sometime?
Perfect. I hope you get good feedback on your podcast for the x-rays of the rich and famous.
I hope so, too.
I just realized everybody is here to party.
Oh, yeah. And remember to leave a comment for Miss Trish if you have any questions. If we get enough, maybe we can get her to come back and do a follow-up session with us. Again, thanks for coming and have a great week.